Revelation chapter 12. I want to continue tonight a series we started maybe 13 weeks ago called End Time Previews. We're looking at the next thing on God's prophetic calendar. We began by talking about the rapture. Simply, all I want you to know about the rapture, that's the next thing that I believe could happen. It could happen at any time, at any moment. Nothing else has to be fulfilled for that to happen. It could happen tonight, where the trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. Those in the grave who are Christians will meet the Lord in the air, okay? And then we who are alive will remain, will meet Him as well. That's called the rapture. That's what I want you to remember as you think about end time previews. First of all, think about the rapture. When the rapture has taken place, the world will enter what we know from the Bible called the tribulation. It's a 7-year period. The first half is called the tribulation period. The second half, the second 3.5 years, are called the great tribulation period. Now, we've been talking about this tribulation period. It takes up most of the book of Revelation from chapter 6 all the way to chapter 18. First of all, we looked at the catastrophes in this period of time. They basically are going to come in 3 judgments that God is going to send upon the world. Can you name them for me? First of all, there's the 7 seal judgments, right? Second of all, there's the 7 trumpet judgments. And lastly, there's the 7 bowl judgments. Okay, all these increase and intensify as they come. So we've talked about these catastrophes. Now, last week we just got started, and I'll continue tonight. Second of all, during this tribulation period, we're talking not only about these catastrophes, but second of all, we're backing up now and talking about the characters that you're going to see in the tribulation period. All these characters appear throughout these 7 years at different times during the tribulation period. Last week, we began talking about the 144,000. That was in Revelation chapter 7. I believe about midway through the 7-year period, starting into the Great Tribulation, and we're going to talk about the abomination of desolation tonight, but the Jews realize they're being duped by Satan, being duped by the Antichrist, and they're going to back away from him. Bloodshed's going to be everywhere because of it. But also because of that, they will find the Messiah. They will find the Lord, true Lord Jesus Christ. And 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe of Israel will be saved. We said there are like 144,000 Billy Grahams who go throughout the entire world spreading the gospel to the Jews first. And many of those Jews, I believe, primarily in the latter half of the tribulation period, these last 3.5 years, many hundreds, yea, thousands will be saved because of this 144,000. So that's the first character or characters that we talked about. The second character, do you remember who this was? He was a mighty angel. You find that in Revelation chapter 10. Now, who is this angel? Some would think it was the Lord Jesus Christ, but we gave you some references of why I don't think it is. I think it's just another one like the other, meaning another like all the other angels, but mighty, maybe more powerful, is going to come on the scene. And it's a picture, it's an illustration of Jesus conquering the world, conquering and getting back the world the way God intended. And in that Revelation chapter 10, we see a little book. Remember, a little scroll. We saw that in Revelation chapter 5. A little scroll, which is the title deed to the earth. You see, everything's coming back to Jesus. He created it. He made it. He spoke it into existence. And we're getting in the tribulation period. It's not long after that till everything will come back around to the Lord Jesus Christ. So John is told to take this little book from the angel and to eat it. He eats it, and first of all, it's bitter. It's bitter because all these catastrophes, these judgments are going to come upon the earth, on all these unbelievers, and many of them won't repent. But also it's sweet because the victory for the Lord Jesus Christ to be exalted and glorified for who He is will soon come to pass. Then last week we talked about the two witnesses out of Revelation chapter 11. Two witnesses are going to come on the scene. We're not told when they're going to come on the scene. But again, I think it's probably towards the middle of the tribulation period, the starting of the great tribulation period. Two witnesses are going to come from heaven. I believe they will be Elijah, because the Bible says in Revelation 11, he'll be able to call fire down from heaven, thus Elijah. And the other will be Moses, because he turns the water into blood. And we see that during the plagues that Moses brought on the land of Egypt. They're going to come on the scene. And they're going to start witnessing, first to the Jews and to others. The world, the Antichrist, is going to try to stop them, but not be able to. Okay? In fact, during that Revelation of chapter 11, the Bible talks about the Gentiles trampling Jerusalem underfoot. They're going to try to stomp everything that looks like God out. But they're not going to be able to hurt these two witnesses until God's done with them. Then they're going to be able, all these people, to kill these two witnesses because God allowed it. They're going to be in the streets, Revelation 11 says, for 3.5 days. And the whole world's going to rejoice. In fact, they're going to send presents to one another because of these two witnesses. After 3.5 days, you know what God's going to do? He's going to resurrect them. And they're going to go up to heaven. So that is the first of the characters that we've talked about in this tribulation period. Now, I want to go to Revelation chapter 12. And we're going to begin talking about some other characters. I want to name these characters, the first five, pretty briefly, because they take place, they have their part in this tribulation period at different times. Revelation chapter 12 talks about a pregnant woman, which we said is Israel. We'll show you this in just a moment. A great fiery red dragon, which is a picture of the Satan or the devil. A male child is a picture of Jesus himself. We see an archangel pictured, which we believe will be Michael. And we see a remnant. The remnant will be believing Jews. And then in Revelation 13, we'll get to that. There's two main characters that I have to spend some time on. First will be the beast of the sea, and the second one will be the beast of the earth. Now, I want to give you a summary, again, very quickly. You understand, I'm not trying to go in depth in a lot of the book of Revelation. You say, Brother Ron, you could have fooled me. Seriously, I'm not, because there's a lot more that I have to this. But I'm trying to hover over, if you will, and give us a perspective from up here, this outline, and fill it in with enough information that we can understand it. But I can't go into depth. Now, I thought about it this week. Maybe 3 or 4 years from now, 5 years, we'll do the book of Revelation again, and I'll do this one back in depth again. So maybe if the Lord leads on that. But that's not my objective this time. We've done it once 10, 12 years ago. This is more of an overview so we can get in our minds and hearts, because I don't want God's people saying they can't understand the book of Revelation when God says in Revelation chapter 1, there's a blessing to anyone who will read and study this book. How many want that blessing? So we're going to have to understand it. So, okay, there's a lot more that we could talk about, but I'm just briefly go over especially these first five characters and give you a glimpse of what they're going to be, who they're going to be, when they're going to be during this period of time, so forth and so on. Okay? Now, in Revelation chapter 12, John sees a woman. Okay? That was the first character. Clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a garland of 12 stars on her head, crying out in labor and pain, and she's about ready to give birth. Now, let's look at it. Revelation 12, look at verse 1. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman. So this is who we're talking about, and she's pregnant. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and her head a garland of 12 stars. Verse 2, then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. So this woman is clothed with the sun, okay, with the moon under her feet, and a garland of 12 stars on her head, And she's crying out in labor pains, in labor and pain as she's about ready to give birth. This, I believe, represents Israel. Israel is a vital part of this tribulation period, okay? You're going to see them from the beginning to the end, and at the end, many, maybe we could say even most, will come to Christ, okay? So they play a predominant part throughout the entire tribulation period. Now, so this is Israel. Now, how do we, Brother Ron, look at how she's described? Okay. How do I know that's Israel? Keep your finger in Revelation chapter 12 and go back to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. And I want to show you just real briefly why we believe that is picturing Israel. Do you remember in Genesis chapter 37? Remember, we have a young man named, anybody remember? Joseph. What was Joseph known for? Not only his coat of many colors, but what? He was a dreamer. He kept having dreams. Do you remember that? Okay. He begins to dream some things. Okay. Look, if you will, now, Genesis 37. Let's just skip down for time's sake to verse 9. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers. Remember, he was telling dreams to his brothers, and what did it do to them? It incited them. It made them mad. Okay, even told it to his dad, and his dad didn't know what to do with it. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And at this time, now watch the language here. Okay, the sun, do you see that? The sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his fathers rebuked him or reproved him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? Do you see that? The sun, who does it represent? It represents Jacob. It represents the father. Or who is Jacob? It represents who? Israel. Do you see that? The moon would be who? Be Rachel, his mother. Now, the 11 stars, who would they be? The brothers or the nation of Israel with Joseph included. Do you see that? So that's why we know that this woman who is pregnant represents Israel. Okay? So that's all I want you to know about that, is where we got that from. Because Israel is going to play a predominant part in the tribulation period through different times, and we won't go through all that. It'd take much time to do that. But just know they're a part, a vital part of the tribulation period. Now, the second character is the great fiery red dragon, who we know is Satan, who's about ready to try to devour this child as soon as it's born. Now, look at Revelation chapter 12. Go back there. Revelation 12, verse 4, and he drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. We'll get to there in just a minute. We've been over that. I'll get back to it in just a minute. Now watch. And the dragon stood before the woman, okay, who was ready to give birth to devour her child. Do you see? My Bible capitalizes child because it's speaking of Jesus as soon as he was born. Jesus represents what? The Son of God, but he also represents his descendants, which would be who? Which would be Israel. Okay? So this, what is Satan going to do during this whole tribulation period? I'll tell you what he's going to do. What he's always tried to do is that is to stomp out all the offspring of Jesus Christ, which is simply, for this terminology, would be Israel and us, as we came along as well, but mainly the Jews. Has he not been trying to do that throughout history? Go back and look at World War II. Go back and look at Hitler. Go back and look at 6 million Jews who were exterminated. Do you think that happened by accident? I believe Satan was behind that. Because Hitler had a demonic spirit or spirits. And Satan used him to get to who? That whole war was about a lot of things, and it was a terrible war. And thank God that God gave us the victory. But it was a spiritual war. And that war was tried to eliminate as many Jews as possible. So you see this great fiery red dragon about ready to do what? When the child is born, okay? Now remember, in Matthew chapter 2, when Jesus was born, who was in control? Herod was in control. He said, I want to go, told the wise men, when you find out where the child's going to be born, you find out where he is, bring me word and I want to come worship him. Was that his true motive? What did he want to do? He wanted to destroy the Lord Jesus, is what he wanted to do. So you see the child, okay, even back in there in the New Testament, to be destroyed, and all the offspring of the Lord Jesus Christ, first and foremost the Jews, and then us as Gentiles. Now, the male child is Jesus, is who he is. Look at verse 5, Revelation 12. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. That has to be Jesus, right? And her child was caught up to God and his throne. You see, the male child is caught up to God in his throne, a picture of the ascension of the Lord after his resurrection. Let me say something to you. God will always protect Israel. Always. We would do good as a nation. We better always ally with Israel. The day comes when we don't do that, we put ourselves in grave danger as a nation. Okay? So the Lord protected him. It's a picture of the ascension of the Lord after his resurrection. The God will protect Israel, especially during this last 3.5 years, because the abomination of desolation, which we're going to talk about in just a moment, is going to happen about middle ways of the tribulation. And when the Jews will not bow down to Satan and worship him, all hell is going to break loose. And if God didn't intervene, many of the Jews would be martyred and killed and tortured. But God will always protect Israel, especially during these last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, until they hear the 144,000, till they hear the two witnesses, and many of them be saved. Look at verse 6. Then the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God. See that? That they should feed her there 1,260 days, or the 42 months, or the 3.5 years. Okay? Now, in Revelation 12, verses 7 through 12, and I won't read them all right now, you have another character. Okay? So we've seen a woman who was pregnant, which represents Israel, predominant throughout the tribulation. We see the great fiery red dragon, Satan, which is really the one behind the Antichrist and the false prophet, which we'll talk about in just a minute, throughout the tribulation. Then we see Jesus and his descendants, which is Israel basically, and us as children of God. We've talked about them. Now, fourthly, we see an archangel, okay? An archangel, because war is going to break out in heaven. And Satan was cast down with a third of the angels, okay? Look at Revelation 12, look at verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast with him. Then look at Revelation 12. Look at back at verse 4, page before. This is where, now this goes along with 7 through 9. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven, talking about Satan. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. Now, again, I'm not going to go with this in depth because we did it before. This is not the initial fall of Satan. Okay? Most people do not realize Satan will be thrown from heaven twice. First of all, way back yonder, from the very beginning, we find that in Isaiah chapter 4. 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28. If you'll read those passages, you'll find that that's the first time that Satan was cast out of heaven. He took a third of the angels with him. But now, in Revelation chapter 12, how do I know he's still in heaven? At least has access to heaven. Because he goes before God and he does what? He accuses the brethren, which is you and I, he accuses the brethren of our sins in the presence of God. But listen to me. There's going to be a day during this tribulation period, okay? He's going to be cast out the second time. He no longer has access to heaven to accuse us. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So literally, he's cast out of heaven basically twice. Revelation 12 is the second time. This second time he's cast out, where he no longer has access to God, to blaspheme us before God, is going to happen during this tribulation period. It's going to take place during this time. The result is heaven rejoices and earth experiences woe. Why? Because Satan knows he only has a short time. The second time he's thrown out, no more access to God, he knows his days are numbered. Look at verse 12 of Revelation 12. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath. Why? Because he knows that he has a short time. He knows that the lake of fire is in his near future. Okay? So we have what? We have a woman who's pregnant, represents Israel, a great fiery red dragon, which represents Satan, a male child, which represents Jesus and his descendants. Now we have an archangel, Michael. All of these have something to do in this seven-year tribulation period. Lastly, now in Revelation chapter 12, we have a remnant. That's in verses 13 through 17. I'm not going to read that for the sake of time. Again, this remnant will be the Jews that God protects in the wilderness, the Bible says, and nourishes them and takes care of them for 3.5 years. He always has. But especially during this great tribulation period when Satan has this kind of wrath and so many people behind him. If God didn't protect Israel during this time, it's a chance they'd all be wiped out. But God is not going to let that happen. So these five figures, and that's all I want to say about them, okay? That's enough information that you need to know about them, okay, from what we're doing. Those five you're going to see in different parts of the tribulation period. Now, let's get into something that we're not going to be able to rush through, okay? You're going to have to stick with Brother Ron, okay? You going to do that? All right. Now, Revelation chapter 13, you have two more characters. We've talked about five of these characters. Now we're going to talk about two more that are going to show up during this tribulation period. They are very, very important to what's going to be happening during this time. The first one is the beast of the sea. Now get that down. The beast of the sea, which is known as the Antichrist. Okay? Now just stop and think about this. Now I'll explain it in just a minute with the text. The beast of the sea is the Antichrist. He will be a political / military leader. You're going to really see him come on after the first seal. Okay? He's going to predominantly take center stage in the world when? The first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Okay? He's going to put everything together, have all the answers to every problem. Everybody's going to begin to follow him until his true colors begins to be shown. So, the beast of the sea is the Antichrist. The Antichrist is both a political and a military leader. Now, again, do you remember back, we talked about the first seal. There was a rider on a white horse. Anybody remember that in the first seal? Who had a bow, but he had no arrows. Do you remember that? Some think because he was riding a white horse and has a crown that he was Jesus. If you remember, we took the word of God and said, no, we don't believe that. We argued that Jesus is pictured as having a sword in Revelation chapter 9, on a white horse, but having a sword and not a bow, okay? So we said that was not Jesus, rather it was the Antichrist, okay? Now, you see that in Revelation 19, verses 11 and 12. He's riding a white horse. In fact, we're riding it with him, coming back to earth. This is the second coming of Christ. He's on the white horse. And do you remember what proceeds out of his mouth? A sword. The Battle of Armageddon will be over just like that. Okay? But it's a sword that comes out of his mouth. We also said that the crown he was wearing, okay, talking about this first seal, was the Greek word Stephanos, which means a victor's crown. Okay? So what does that mean? The Antichrist, okay, when he comes on the scene that first 3.5 years, everybody's going to look up to him. He's going to have victory in everything he says and everything he does. So that was the crown he was wearing. But Jesus in Revelation 19 and verse 12 is pictured as having a crown. You know what the Greek word there is? Diadem. Completely different type of crown, which means a crown for royalty is what it means. Okay? So also, another way to think about it, Christ is going to return at the end of the tribulation, not the beginning. So that's why at the first seal in Revelation chapter 6, that can't be Christ. He comes at the end of the tribulation, not at the beginning. Okay? Now, this is the Antichrist coming on the scene at the beginning of the tribulation period. He, like I said, he'll be empowered. He'll be manipulative. He'll be a personification of Satan himself. Now, Revelation 13, I said all that to read this. Look, if you will, in verse 1. Revelation 13, 1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast. Okay, that's why we call it the beast of the sea. Okay, rising up out of the sea. And now watch, and this is where you're going to have to stick with Brother Ron just a minute, okay? Having, what time is it? Okay. 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns, 10 crowns, and on his head, a blasphemous name. Now, this beast of the sea, which is the Antichrist, is pictured of as rising up out of the sea. Most commentators believe this is the Mediterranean Sea. Remember, the Antichrist will be a political slash military leader, listen, with possible roots in this area. Okay? You say, Brother Ron, could the Antichrist be living today? Sure. It's possible. He could be living today. But he'll probably rise up out of that part of the world where the Mediterranean Sea is. Now, also this pictured as the sea of humanity. So he's going to come out of the people. Now, just flip to Revelation 17, over one page quickly. Look at verse 15. This is where I get this. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits, and we'll talk about that. I just want you to see this. Are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So when I'm talking about the beast of the sea could be the Mediterranean Sea where the Antichrist could come out of, but it also means he came out of the sea of humanity. Do you see that? All these different people, you're going to have this guy arise. Now, quickly, let's look at how he's described. Now, I want to go in this in my order that I want to take it, not exactly like verse 13 says. So just listen to me, and you can glance at your Bible and see it. Okay? First of all, he's described as having 10 horns. The 10 horns represent 10 kingdoms that will come together to form an alliance during the tribulation period. Okay? That's what we believe the 10 horns are about. 10 kingdoms, okay, whatever they're called in that day, okay, are going to form an alliance together during this tribulation period. And the Antichrist will be the head of it. He will be the leader of this 10-group alliance, or as the Bible says, 10 horns, okay? Daniel 7 says, this is the vision of the end time. Daniel 7, verse 24, listen to this. The 10 horns are 10 kings who arise from this kingdom, probably from an area that I'll explain in just a moment. So there's going to be 10 leaders with 10 alliances. They're going to form together a pact with the Antichrist. That's going to be his base of operation. Does that make sense to everybody? Please, somebody shake this way. Okay. That's what we believe that simply means. Okay. Then in Revelation 17, 12, we see something else. That's the 10 horns. Okay. Seven heads. Look at Revelation 17, verse 12. Just flip over there. See how you got to flip back and forth to be able to get this? Revelation 17, 12. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but receive authority for 1 hour. Now, what does that mean, Brother Ron? Most commentators say it's just a short-lived period of time, not probably a literal hour, okay? As kings with the beast, okay? The seven heads is a place where this alliance will be centered. Now, get the picture. 10 horns are 10 rulers, 10 kings, maybe 10 political leaders that have 10 different alliances that are going to come together with the Antichrist. That's what they're going to have. Now, the next question will be, where will be their base of operation? Well, first of all, it's going to be called Babylon. That's what they're going to be called. And will likely, listen to me, be in Europe. Listen, and especially in Rome. Now, why do we say that? Look at Revelation 17 and in verse 9. Because Revelation 17 is what we're talking about a lot in Revelation 13. Revelation 17, verse 9. Look at this. Here is a mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. The woman is a reference again to Babylon. Now, where do we believe this is? We believe this is Rome. Because Rome has long been known as the city built on seven hills. That's what it's known as, okay? So, okay, we got 10 horns. They represent 10 kings, 10 political leaders, 10 alliances that are going to come together with the Antichrist. Do you see that, okay? Their base of operation is probably going to be in Europe, okay? Why? Because the headquarters will probably be somewhere in Rome. Because the Bible says what? It talks about those seven heads, okay, which are really seven mountains, okay, that we know is in Rome, built on seven hills, okay? So we have an alliance. It's probable, it's possible, it'll be in Europe, probably centered somewhere around Rome. Now, folks, let me just stop here. Do you know what's happening in Europe by any chance? How far they have gone away from God. Have you read up on any of this? They got cathedrals over there that holds thousands of people and maybe 50 people fill them. I've heard a statistic upwards to 80-some percent of Europeans don't go to church anywhere. Do you see where this would be ripe for something like this to happen? I believe it's happening before our eyes, okay? Then another description, okay? So we got these descriptions, okay? Now, look at 10 crowns, okay? Now, go back to Revelation 13, verse 1. Let's recap so I don't go too far ahead of you. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, the beast of the sea, the Antichrist, both a political and military leader, having seven heads, 10 horns. We've talked about both of those. We took the 10 horns first, this alliance. The seven heads, where it'd be located, probably Rome. And on the 10 horns, watch this, 10 crowns. What is this? This is a reference to, listen, the authority and power by which this alliance will operate in the world. They will have authority and power eventually over the whole world. Now, the blasphemous name, keep reading Revelation 13, verse 1, and on his head's a blasphemous name. It's probably a reference to the pride and the arrogance that this alliance will have towards God, promoted by the Antichrist and the false prophet, which we'll talk about in just a moment, okay? Though this alliance, we believe, will be centered in Europe, it will have its headquarters in Rome, its authority and power will eventually spread across the world. Okay, that is the beast of the sea. Do you understand that? Can you get that? That's a good place to stop, okay? Now, next week, y'all are looking at me pretty funny tonight, okay? It's all going to be okay. We can get this, okay? So I'll review a little bit next week, and then we're going to talk about, because there's another component here. Not only the beast of the sea, the Antichrist, a political military leader, but now we have the beast of the earth, the beast of the earth. He will be a false prophet. Listen, he will be a religious leader. Okay? We're going to talk about how all that works, especially we're going to go back to the book of Daniel a lot next week. For that's where you find the abomination of desolation. We're going to find out how this beast of the earth, this false prophet, this religious leader, what his part is going to be with the Antichrist, this political and military leader, how they together, take over the whole world. We're going to talk next week about the mark of the beast and how that all fits in. So we'll give you a good overview of these two. And then I'm going to put it all together for you. Okay? Sound good to everybody? All right. Thank you for being here tonight. I appreciate it so much. If you're visiting with us, we